This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Saturday evening service of September the 5th, 1992, being held at the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting, Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
God has assigned to you, is given to you because he trusts you, he wants you to grow in it. See? And the devil has duped you into thinking you can't do it. He has duped you into saying, oh, God can't hear my prayers. Yes, he does. He's eagerly waiting to hear your prayers. If you wake up a second and get a hold of who you are in Christ Jesus, he'll start hearing your prayers. You walk in that priest's closet and begin to ask God to release your family, release your wife, release your children. Say, I stand as a priest's home, devil. You get your hands off my kids. I stand as a priest, God, in the name of Jesus. You release my wife, that Jezebel power. Release them up. And just go on down the list, man. And God will hear it. God will hear it. You can say amen when you want to hear you. That's a good spot. That was a good spot to say amen, y'all. Y'all getting sleepy on me. I got to give me some water to throw at these folks. I'm going to get one of them big old super soakers. You seen them super soakers? They shoot 50 feet, man. A water gun. I could part somebody's hair from right here. Just, what? Would that be great? I'd be a kid again. I would. I'd soak them. Some of y'all, the hair I could part anyway. I better hush up. I'm starting to get a little home here. I got to tell my wife, I said, I don't care what color it stays, as long as it stays. I don't care. Give me a head full of gray hair. I don't care. As long as it's there. Praise God. Getting more forehead to wash, man. It's getting out of hand. But God loves you, man. He hears your prayers. He wants you to get there and get that time as a priest. He wants to be that priest. Job was a perfect and upright man. He feared God and hated evil. But Job rose early in the morning and offered up burnt offerings early in the morning. Burnt offerings for each of his children because why? He said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. You are cursing God when you disobey his commandments. See, Job got up in the morning. He prayed for his kids. He interceded for his children. He was a priest. Guys, I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this thing and start doing it, your lives will be changed. Your family will be changed. It's amazing what happens. See, you can't change nobody but you. And by changing you, you'd be surprised what changes around you. See, you get in that prayer closet. It's that wife of mine. It's like it was that song. It's that one guy. No, God, he says, I'm talking to you. Uh-oh. Me? Yeah, you. Yeah, Jack, you're really the problem here because, you know, you haven't nurtured your wife like you should. See? We're good at advising, but we're kind of weak on the nurturing part. And God will start talking to you in that prayer time. He'll start talking in that place of priesthood. That's where he wants to do. He wants to talk to you in that priest position. God will hear the prayer of a righteous man interceding for the spiritual welfare of his children. Every time a child was healed or delivered in the New Testament, the child's parent was on the scene representing that child before God. The parent or guardian or father, if he's present, has an authority that every demon in hell would tremble at. You understand that? Demons tremble when fathers take their position and men take the position that God's ordained for them to walk into. I'm telling you, we got a whole world out here that women are crying for men to be men again. I'm telling you. You know, I tell you what, guys, you better start rising up and taking it. You say, all these women are more spiritual only because they chose to. See, if you walk in what God's called you, see, there's no competition in this kingdom. See, there's no competition in this thing. Well, Mom, you know, jealousy. Well, you got to deal with jealousy. I did. My wife used to be a little old thing, sit on the back row, just doing what I told her to do, bowed her head, you know, she's like a Chinaman. It's just, you know, always just, you know. And God started delivering her and setting her free and anointing her. I said, wait a minute, now, I'm the guy in the spotlight here. I'm the guy with the guitar, you know. I don't got the moves, you know. I got some jealousy. I tell you, I had some jealousy. You know, jealousy is ugly. But you know how, I want to tell you how stupid it sounds. You know what jealousy is? When you're jealous or envious, here's what you're really saying. You're saying that God is not big enough to bless me and them too. Now, don't that sound stupid? Now, don't it? You know, I mean, my God is big enough to bless everybody. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, brother. So, Mark chapter 9 tells the story of a young man who was possessed by a demon, and in desperation, the father brought the boy to Jesus and to be delivered. Now, what did Jesus ask? He asked the father, not the son. He said, do you believe that I can perform this miracle? When the father said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, Jesus healed the child. He acted on a father's faith, not on a child's faith. Man, you got a place here that God's waiting for you to jump into so he can start working for you. And if you get into it, I'm telling you, the floodgates of heaven are going to fall through you, and you'll be astonished at what's going to happen. Amen. You'll be amazed at what's going to happen. Amen. That priest position is vital. It's the starting point for all your relationship with the Lord. And we all neglect it. I'm talking about me too. We've got to get in that place and stay in that group as a priest. Say it, guys. Priest.
Priest.
That's it. Hallelujah. The Exodus account of the Passover. The father of each household was uniquely responsible for providing the lamb that would blanket his house with protection. The command to kill the lamb and paint the doorpost was given to him, and protection was offered to his family. Not the nation as a whole, not to a tribe, not to a church, but to one family under the leadership of one man. It was the man's responsibility to take the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost. It's your responsibility, guys, to take the blood of Jesus and put it over the doorpost of your home. See? Get in that doorpost position and say, God, I put the blood of Jesus over my son. I cover my son with the blood of Christ. I ask you to forgive his arrogance. I ask you to forgive his rebellion. I ask you to confess the sins of him. Nehemiah did it for a whole nation. So we can start with our family. That's our first priority. And it goes from there. Nothing comes from the inward, but that's the base right there. Begin to put that blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. I tell you something, there's something about the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, we lost some top of them corners, them landmarks. We lost something here, guys. We've got to get a hold of it again. The blood of Jesus is powerful. You start talking about the blood. Let's just sing something. Who can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. The blood of the Lamb. Did you feel it coming in there? Did you feel what happens when the blood comes in? You start taking that position as priest and putting the blood of Christ upon your family. I mean, begin to talk. I mean, you say, well, how do I do that? You start doing it. You start with what you have. And he began to work with you. He began to take you. God's going to hold you responsible, guys, for your families. He's holding you responsible. My son left my home. Yes, he did. I take total responsibility for that. I take total responsibility for that. I don't blame him. It was my responsibility. See? There's some things we got to start taking care of. That's one of them. Amen. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. He made that statement himself for his whole family. He decided we're going to serve him. See, he chose. He knew that God was going to be talking to him if he didn't. See? Hallelujah. So the Lord saved Noah and his entire family. So Noah had have I seen righteousness before me in this generation, Genesis 7:1. You see, it was Noah's righteousness. The righteousness of one man that saved his whole house. The righteousness of one man saved his whole house. Your righteousness, guys, will save your whole house as far as destruction and protection. That priest position, your protector. You've got to move in that place and protect. Amen? Come on, y'all go sleep on me. I'm going to wake you up. You had a long day today. It's the hardest part for me to hit this late night stuff, man. We're going to get it. See, y'all was in the world. You just not getting started, man. Isn't that right? It's 9 o'clock. Yeah, it's party time. Yeah. And off you go, see. But now it's church. Oh, by God, we got to get to bed at 9:30. See? I don't know if I can make it through the news tonight. Honey, if I can go sleep in the news, wake me up, you know. Man, this is sick. See, start reading the Word and the devil put you to sleep, man. That's, I mean, everybody taking pills, they take, read the Word and the devil put you out. He don't want to read that thing. Say, priest.
Priest.
That's number one. Second thing you have to do, we got to walk into, to become a prophet. God wants us, the men to become prophets of their home. What does a prophet do, okay? Noah was a prophet as well as a priest to his family. Now, how was he a prophet? He heard from God and passed that word to his sons. See, you go in that priest position, you get cleansed, you confess sin, you get yourself in the right position, you get new oil on, so you cleanse yourself up, then you get a word from the Lord. See, they say, okay, now I'm talking to you. You get a word from the Lord for your direction for your family. See, you take that word and you turn and you give it to them. Now you move as a prophet. You're distributing the Word of God to them. See? Distributing the Word of God to them. You become the counselors. It is ultimately the father's responsibility to discern God's Word to his family. The wife and the children can hear God and tell what they think God is saying, but for protection of the household, the father or the man must then decide and discern which words are of God and which ones are not. See? Take this very serious and with your children. See, your children and your wife can hear from God. They can come to you and say, here, I think God's saying this, honey. See? But it's your responsibility to discern and decide what it is, if it's God or not. Because you're the one God's going to talk to you about it. See? But don't blow it off and say, well, I ain't hear from God. You listen to your kids and ask God. Say, well, honey, that might be a witness to me. Let me take you to my prayer closet and we'll see what God really says, and you get a witness to, yeah, that's it. That's how your kids grow. That's how your relationship grows. As you begin to, they're hearing from God. They're hearing from God. See? And as they begin to hear from God, you begin to build that with each other. You begin to build that trust. See? And that trust becomes a part of that growing procedure together. And you become a prophet of God, and they begin to hear God themselves. And then you begin to teach them to grow up and out. See, our kids are to grow up and out. They're not supposed to grow up and stay home. See, some of the guys got the kids at home. They're still 35 and 40 years old. Uh-oh, meddling now. Uh-oh. See, that's true. Amen. My son, he left home for 3 years. And he came back. He's at University of Arizona back then. And he decided he was going to probably come back home and live for maybe set out a year. My wife and I, we panicked. You know, we've been praying for all these years for him to come, remember? And he didn't come. I mean, he can mess everything up. He's gone, man. He's 21 and 22 years old. He's gone. You know, be a man, see? And we get praying. We start interceding. God changed it. We went on down to Texas and went to school at the University of Texas. See, God loves. See, when he restores, he restores it all, see? So he graduated from the University of Texas. That's a blessing. Hallelujah. See, he chose University of Arizona, but when we got the relationship restored, he got it back over to Texas, see? So, praise God for University of Texas. Sometimes. I'll move right along here. Priest and prophet. The church is not a magical building. It can only and should be a supplement to what parents model at home. See, it's our responsibility to teach our kids. It ain't the church's responsibility. Some of y'all know churches mess things up. See, I walked in churches, man. I walked in churches and I started walking in nurseries. And people say, ain't nobody getting in the nurseries. Anybody goes in the nurseries to work. I said, man, I tell you what, there's witches going there all the time. Lay hands on them kids and cast spells on them. All kinds of stuff, man. She looks like she might fit. I tell you, you better have somebody watching that stuff. Better watch it good. You better watch it good. So, the priest, the prophet. I'll move right along here. The third thing we want to look at is the king. Priest, prophet, and king. Go to our prayer closet. Get that time of cleansing. Then you turn and get to receive the word of the Lord to give it to you, give it to your family. You distribute the word of God to your family and those around you, your business, if you have a business. But then you walk in the place of kingship. The kingship is the overseeing and ruling families on the behalf of God. And note that the position king is last. See, a lot of guys, I know most Christian guys, they want to be kings, but they don't want to be priests and prophets. They want to tell everybody what to do, but they don't want to take on any responsibility. See, and so I'll tell you what, that's where everything is usually backwards. You got all these guys telling everybody what to do, and their family, and your wives are in your face, and your kids in your face. You're trying to direct everything, and you ain't hearing from God. You ain't spending no time with God. You ain't getting the word of the Lord from God to give to your kids. It will bring them back to the place they need to be at. And so you're trying to be king. You got to be priest, you got to be prophet, and you got to be king. In that order. If you do anything out of the order, you're moving them. If you try to become a prophet without being in that priest position, what you end up doing is you end up prophesying out of your own inspiration. You're not getting the word of the Lord. See, you're not getting God's word to give to anybody because you haven't been in that priest chamber. You haven't been in that place of prayer hearing what God's saying to you. See, to get that word of the Lord, give a word yourself without being there. It ain't God's word. Amen? So you got priest, and you got prophet, and you got king. The king's the guy that guards the gates of the kingdom. We talked a little bit today about gates. So we need to guard the gates of our house. We need to guard the gates of what God's responsibility to us is. And sometimes we need to shut them gates. See, if most people let what goes on that they see on television happen in their living room, let's just tell me about Milton Green. Look at me, look at me. You haven't know who Milton Green is. Okay, he's something that he's a holler at folks. He said, look at me, I'm talking, look at me, boy, I'm talking to you. He used to have his church bosses sitting on the front row, and every time he'd say something controversial, everybody turned their head to church bosses. They laughed, and they all laughed. If they didn't laugh, they didn't laugh, you know. So Milton got tired of it. He walked over and sat up next to him. He said, y'all looking over here, so I might as well preach them over here. See? He shut them down quick. Tell you what. If most people let what goes on TV happen in their living room, they'd throw folks out of the living room. If things we let come in our TVs, if it was going on in your living room, you'd throw them out of your house. See? But we let it come on in. I'm here too. I'm where God's pulling my chain too. See? That's gates. That's guarding the gate. That's shutting the gate. It's time to open the gates and it's time to shut the gate. I like what E.V. Hill said. How many know who E.V. Hill is? He's a black Baptist preacher from Los Angeles. He can preach it, boy, I'm telling you. He's talking about his daughter. His daughter's been raised. Rose, I think his name Rose. I think his name Rose. I think it was Rose. I don't know if it was not Rose. But this guy came to knocking on the door. He's going to pick up his daughter. He opened the door, and here's this thing standing in the front door looking at him. He said, is Rose here? He slammed the door and said, not for you. Yeah. Shut that gate, man. Hey, the daughter come run down. Hey, daddy, is that for me? He said, no, it wasn't nothing for you at all, honey. No, sir. That wasn't nothing for you. Took care of that gate, man. You got to do that. Got to shut that gate. I tell you what. Man. Hallelujah. Halloween. Halloween. The things I used to do on Halloween, I had to repent over that stuff. I used to scare kids. I used to set my PA system up and put a speaker in my front door and give a wire away at her and go, do all this crazy, like Inner Sanctum or whatever it was. I used to have three little girls came one time and they were on roller skates and I did that. And I scared them so bad their legs scattered and they fell on the driveway and rolled everywhere. They just crawled like a dog, man. Trying to get off my front lawn. A little kid came up to me like this, about this high. I took a tree until I was 23 years old. I was in the Air Force walking around the hunchback on Notre Dame on my back. With a head hose over my face. You know what I'm talking about. Now, don't you? Help me now, yeah. Yes, sir. You know, you got to shut them gates. And I got out there, and the little kid about this high came walking around. I scared him so bad, he dropped his candy, his bag, and everything. Turned on. Ah! I said, this, I thought I was cool. Man, I did some river pen. I found out what Halloween was all about. I said, man, I was a little boy. This guy was trying to get back at me, son. I was in Dallas, Texas. I remember I was a little boy. I was in Dallas, Texas. I was about 4 years old, 5. You know, you can remember those things. I remember sitting in my crib on one leg going like this. Yeah. I got a memory like an elephant, man, I'm telling you. Y'all don't talk about the rest of it now. No? I felt like it. And here I was, man. I was in Dallas, Texas, Forney Road. If y'all ever been in Dallas, Texas, my grandma lived on Forney Road. I went down, the house was kind of far apart. And I went down there, and my sisters and I was trick-or-treating, had a little bag in my hand. And I walked ahead of it like a ditch, a big ditch, you know, and the pipe running underneath the driveway. And I walked across that thing, and the house was real dark and everything. And I'm sure somebody's home, I don't know. So we walked up, and we knocked on the door like that, and heard his voice, and said, "Help me, help me, I'm in the attic." I looked at my sisters, and they looked back at me, and we should have known, you know. But, you know, what we do for candy is amazing. Yeah, what we do for a little bit of sugar, something sweet. See? I'm not going to eat. He goes, "Help me. Help me. I'm going to be headed." And I said, "Man, this guy's going to be in trouble." I stuck my ear right next to that door. Man, I was right here. He opened that thing up. Yeah! Man, I took off running. I left that bag. I didn't remember no ditch. I cleared it. My sisters was 4 or 5 years old. I was in the dust. They're in the dust, Jim. I was gone. I mean, I was crooked. I mean, you talk about it. Shoot, I tell you what, I was cooking. I didn't see nothing but elbows moving, but I'm telling you what, dust in the hills. What we do at times like that. You got to guard the gates. You got to watch what comes in and what goes out. See, in so many ways that the enemy's using today. I remember we were talking today about smoking. I got to thinking about all the commercials, all the signs, the subliminal stuff we see. How many of you have ever seen subliminal advertisements? Now, y'all need to be schooling that. Y'all need to have a... I had a guy... Listen to this now. I'm trying to lay things right down like it is. I've been doing pretty good there already, but... I want to tell you something, guys, about garden gates. A friend of mine, he's a school teacher at Alhambra or a high school in Phoenix. He ran one of these big, he got one of these big old projectors from school that takes pictures and blows them up. Okay? He just went through magazines, you know, like People Magazine and just regular folk magazines, you know, that we get in the stores. He started cutting pages out and started looking at subliminal stuff. Well, why would they do this kind of stuff? He said, "That's ridiculous. They wouldn't do that. If they wouldn't do it, if it didn't have an effect, why would they do it? If it didn't have an effect, why would they go to that much trouble to do this? Why would they write sex inside of ice cubes and stick it on a glass and a, you know, and to get for whatever reason? Because they know sex sells. See, and they do that. Can you think that's not true? Look at it. You start looking at your magazines. I looked at he had a Marlboro commercial. I think either Marlboro or Salem. It was a 2-page ad, 2 pages. Two full pages. And it had a guy sitting in a boat with a sunset and some forest And a little commercial telling about all the danger it do. I looked at this thing and said, now why would someone take out all that money, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to run an ad in that paper or that magazine, which was like a People magazine or something. I'm not saying it was People, but it was a very known magazine. And just show some guy sitting in the boat where you couldn't even hardly see him fishing. That didn't make sense. Think about it a second. So we sat back and started looking at this picture and said, what's going on here? Okay? I just tell you like it is, okay? It's what was there. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said, here it is. Boom. And I could not believe what I saw. The whole outline of that whole essence, it's like, you see that picture of Jesus? Where you look at it, and it's got the little letters that makes and you look at it. Once you see it, it reads Jesus, you see Jesus. But until you see it, you can't see it. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? The little thing. This is what happened here. I backed up and I saw this thing and said, man, both pages was a man's sexual organs. Right there, boom. Right in front of my face. I said, man, look at this. That's right. That's subliminal advertisement. Ain't nothing against it in law right now. It's all over the country. We had a picture, we had a guy that was blown up. He's standing in, with his pants rolled up to his knees. He has a pitcher of wine next to his area here. And a gal was sitting next to him, kind of like they're talking on the sand. You blow that thing up and you look at it in red fine print on that picture, it has sex written on it. It has all the F words, SOBs, and all these perverted things written all over this guy's white shirt. See, why would they do that? Sex sales. Manipulation. Now, I'm telling you, this is real stuff. This is stuff that we didn't get in the books, and we just did it our own self. And people couldn't believe it. We showed it to them. They couldn't believe it. We got to guard the gates. See? We got to guard the gates. There's things coming in. The devils, they're pumping stuff to us. They're pumping stuff to us. See, why are we so full of perversion? Why is there so much sexual perversion? Why is there such a drive for relationship? Because Christians are yielding themselves to the same garbage the world's yielding to get the same input. You got to guard the gates, guys. See? You say, well, how can we do that? God will show you how to do it. You spend time in a priest's closet, he'll say, hey, enough is this. It's enough. See? I want to tell you something. My wife and I used to be what they call sipping saints. That means I used to drink a little wine. See, my wife and I used to drink a little bit of wine. See, now you take the Bible and say it's for a little stomach's sake. See, we use all that stuff. And God finally put. I was at a conference, at John Wimber conference. He started making a statement. He said, you know, I'm gonna tell you what. I was getting ready to go to the bathroom. I get ready to walk in. I was getting ready to go to the bathroom. It was the first day when they had the pastors and ministers there. I was getting ready to go to the bathroom in Dallas, Texas. He said, I'm going to tell you what God told me about drinking wine. And I stopped. And I turned like, and I stood there like this. I mean, I had to go so bad. And I waited. I said, I got to hear what this man's got to say about this. See, you got to know God wants you to be free. See? And he made this statement. He said this. He says, you can take the word of God and you can justify this. Okay, drink wine. I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost told me, he said. And I'll tell you, it's the same thing he told me and my wife. He told me anyway. He told my wife, he told her a different way. He said this. He said, for you, I don't want you drinking. And my wife, he said to her, she used to like this Carl Ross admission. Take Carl Ross and put a nipple on it, man. She loved her. I was telling you, she used to like her wine. I'm missing some of y'all's idols, but I'm telling you. It's time to guard the gates. And so she's in her living room one day. And it was right after we were driving down. I tell you, guys, there's something we need to do. Time's getting away. I know it's getting away. I want something I want to do. But you need to release your wives to do what God's calling them to be. See? I drove down I-17. One day, and I looked at my wife at the church one day, and I said, honey, today I release you to be what God's called you to be. No more restrictions. No more suppressing you. And the envy and jealousy was what was wrestling her. She began to weep, and message to give me. I could be anything I want to be. Sometimes I felt like I was just like wanting to fly. And when it was all said and done, you know, she told me what she really wanted to do. She wanted to please me. See, she wanted to please me. And God began to deal with her through wine drinking. He said, Carol, put it down. I'll give you all the new wine you ever want to drink. You know what? He has. God never takes nothing from you.
That's right.
You don't want to hear something better.
That's right.
Let's guard the gates, guys. Guard the gates. Priest, prophet, king. It's kind of a fast summary of it. That's the essence of it. I want all the men to stand if they would right now. Wives, I want you interceding with us too, okay? Wives, I want you to let your husband go tonight. A lot of you don't trust your husband because you didn't trust your fathers. We're going to deal with that in a little while. God, I want you to raise your hands. I want you to surrender to the Lord tonight. Father, I come to you tonight and I just ask you on behalf of these men. I want you to pray. I want to pray. I want you to pray after me. Say, Father, I come to you tonight. I humble myself in the sight of the Lord. I ask you to forgive me for the area of failure of priest, prophet, and king of my home. I didn't mean to do this. It wasn't a willful sin. But I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. And wash me of all unrighteousness in this area. I ask you to bind every demon, every spirit I yielded myself to, that's blocked me from taking my position as man, as priest, as prophet, and as king and gatekeeper of my responsibilities. I ask in Jesus' name to release me right now from all the power Satan holds over me. In Jesus' name, release me now. 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 In Jesus' name. Father God, help me. Help me. Be the man God's called me to be. Help me. Guide me. Direct me. Feed me. Give me desire. Give me desire. I need a desire. I forgive my father. I forgive my mother. I release them into your hands. Release me from all their power they hold over me. Release me from the sins of my father in this area of responsibility. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Father, I ask you right now for a new anointing upon these men tonight. Father, I ask them to meet the challenge that's set before them tonight. Let them not receive it as a scolding. Let them receive it as a blessing, Father. God, I ask you right now to help some of these men. It's difficult for them to move in that place of priest. It's difficult to move in an area of prophet and king. God, I ask you to help them. Help me, Father. Help us as we move toward this together, Father. I ask you to release all pride here, all arrogance and self-sufficiency here. Self-sufficiency is a danger zone for a priest and prophet and king. We need him. We need him. We can do nothing without him. And God, I ask you to fill these men with a new anointing. in Jesus' name. Who can rain blessings?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No but the blood of Jesus.
Father, right now I ask you to release these men, release them right now from the power that Jezebel's spirit is holding them down. That casts a spear and discouragement on them. That works on them in the area of intimidation. Works on them in the area of manipulation. Works in the area of domination. I ask you to release them from all the effect of it, Father. Release them from the Ahab spirit, God. This complacency, an era of yielding their authority over to this power. And God, I ask you right now, help these men right now to regain their authority. You men say this. Say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for surrendering my authority over to the satanic forces. Forgive me for releasing my authority in the to the power of the devil. I take it back tonight. I restore tonight myself, my position as priest, as prophet, and king, and protector, and guardian of the area you've designated for me. Tonight I claim victory. I receive the blessings. I receive the anointing. I receive the authority to fulfill this task that you've assigned to me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Get in my hand. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Many may be seated. I want you to play this real slow, real soft in the background, but real soft. As you put, if you put your hands on her eyes, she releases eyes. All lust that they've yielded themselves to in years past. I ask you to release them from all the power that Satan holds over them through these eyes. Confess sins. I speak blessings upon these eyes tonight, Lord. I speak blessings of new visions. I speak blessings of clarity of sight. I speak healing and restoration to these eyes. I bless these eyes, these precious eyes, with the blood of Jesus. Bless them, Father. As they touch their lips, Father, I ask you to forgive all gossip. Forgive all words here, Father, of destruction they've spoken. The two-edged sword cuts is not the word of God. The sharpness and the edge comes through this conversation. God, I ask you to forgive. And release them tonight, Lord. Release them. Release my daughters tonight, the Lord would say, from all this. I speak blessing on her lips. I speak blessing on her conversation. Let it be pure. Let it be uplifting. Let it have character. Let it be noble and kind. Let their words be true. Let it be peace. And as they raise these precious hands to the Lord, I ask you to bless these hands, Lord. Father, bless them in praise. Bless them in prayer. Bless their touch, Lord. For you to have husbands with you, touch your husband right now. Keep your eyes upon the Lord, but just touch him. I ask you to bless their touch. Oh,
There's nothing like the touch of a woman. Bless their kindness, good children. Bless his hands. I speak creativity to his hands. I speak creativity to his hands. Bless them. Those that don't have husbands tonight, God, I stand on behalf of them. And I ask you, Father God, to bring that mate of your choice to their lives. Let them not be deceived and led astray. Will you guide and direct them? Bless these hands, Father. As they raise their feet up and down, raise their feet up and down. I ask you to bless these feet, Father. Be a light into their path, God. Be a light into the path. Just lead them to the places you have them to go. Lead them to the places they're to be a witness for you to. I ask you to release them from all religious spirits here. All bondages of false doctrine. I ask you to release these women to be what God's called them to be. Men, I want you to say this. If your wife's here, say, I release you to be what God's called you to be. No longer will I restrict you or hinder you from flowing and obeying the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes, women. First of all, I want you to forgive your fathers. Say, Father, look at your dad right now in your mind's eye. Look at his face in your mind's eye and say, Dad, forgive you. From the bottom of our heart, I forgive you. I forgive you for the abuse. I forgive you for not being the dad that I needed. I forgive you for not being the dad to nurture me. I understand. And then I release you into the hands of the Lord. I bless you, Dad. I see blessings on you. Father God, release me from my father. Release me from his words so I can flow to my mate. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want you women to look at your husbands now. Just look at your husbands. Men and wives, sons, y'all stand this today. Y'all, forgive me, we're just going to do some couples right now. And y'all that don't have your husband, we just want to obey the Lord tonight.
Meeting us in the night season. Thank you for meeting us in the early morning hour. Thank you, Father, for that which will take place here tomorrow. That you shall be glorified. The people shall be blessed. They shall say it's been a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.